welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. And brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hi, I'm Rob Greaves, and it's indeed a pleasure to share another story in the wonderful series of Listen to Older Voices. This is the third and final part of the story of 75-year-old Mick van der Slick. Over the past 2 weeks, we followed Mick's story from her German-occupied family home in Holland during World War II, to meeting Fred post-war and marrying him, to coming to Australia and carving out a new life. We learn how she came to get a job as a librarian in a Catholic girls' college, where she had to design the systems from the ground up and proved to be so effective, she ended up staying for some 23 years. Now, Mick and Fred have fully integrated into Australian culture and life, and in the twilight of their lives, they face the same obstacles and issues all post-retirees face. But to commence this week's program, we pick up with Mick talking about how she got her first house, no, her first home in Australia. How long did you stay with them for?
Around about 10 months, I think. Yes, because then Fred, we moved to Melbourne, you see, so I had to give up. And I was expecting the twins, so.
Did you move into your own home in Melbourne, or were you renting?
No, we were renting.
Where and when was your first home that you and Fred bought?
The first home? Oh, dear. See, when we came to Melbourne, I was expecting the twins, and we were having a flat in Bulwyn, but we were sharing the kitchen and sharing the bathroom and everything with four other people, and I was terribly unhappy.
Oh,
so
yes.
I used to take the train from Ivanhoe, I think it was, to Eltham to see my cousin.
Right.
And she thought that I wasn't very happy. So anyhow, they decided to build a garage with a workshop behind it, and they converted the work bench and everything into a small kitchen, and we lived in their garage.
And you were pregnant at this stage?
Yeah, and pregnant at that stage, yes. And then I discovered that I had twins, because I didn't know I had twins, because they didn't do all these things they do now,
yes,
you know, so
yes.
I only knew months before that.
Bit of a surprise,
yes. That was a surprise. So we stayed with them for 8 months, and then my cousin knew quite a few people in Eltham, it mm-hmm. was that we lived. And there was somebody who had a house that said they could have, so we rented it for a while. It was lovely, in Eltham.
And is that where your children were born, in Eltham?
Yes, the children were born in Diamond Creek Hospital. That's Greensboro. Greensboro.
Yes,
Hospital.
Adjacent, for people yeah. outside of Victoria, adjacent suburb, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right. So anyhow, that is what we did. And then we bought a block of land in Eltham,
okay.
right on top of a hill, because we always had this dream from we want to live on top of a hill in Australia, because Holland is so flat.
Of course.
So, we had our house built by some Dutch builder, and it was lovely. It was a flat roof built. It was a very contemporary style home, so it was lovely for the children. Children were all born in that area and grew up there.
Were you working once you had your children, or was that
no,
it?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't working. I minded a couple of children in the area for some pocket money, because I couldn't leave mine, because we had five. And so I never worked until the youngest went to kinder.
Right.
And that was a flux too, because we were camping in Somers, near the beach, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting in front of my tent, and it's quite nice when you look back, because children all had tents as well. And I saw this tiny little advertisement in the paper, part-time librarian wanted in Eltham in a new built college. And I thought, that's it, Catholic Ladies College or something was branching out from East Melbourne to
yes, Melbourne.
So I thought part time suits me fine. So there I go. Had an interview, and yes, she said that'd be nice, you know. But I have got a sister who was that was the head nun that interviewed me.
Yes.
And she said, I have a sister who's the librarian from Turek College, and she will interview you more on your technical thing.
Yes.
So there you go, and I told her all about it. And it was an American system, what you do in cataloging, you know, the Dewey system,
yes,
what they use in Holland. And that was my advantage, they use all that.
So it was the same
classification system.
Right.
Is everywhere the same, so that wasn't a problem. And they said, well, you can start in March because the library is not finished yet. And I started in March, and the head sister, Mary Joan, took me to the library, and she opened the doors and she said, there is your library, do with it what you want.
So you were head librarian?
Yeah, there was only one librarian at that stage.
Right.
Yes. So there were only boxes of books, because in East Melbourne they had only a room with an older sister who was writing down the titles and all that, in a, you know, when somebody took a book.
Yes, yes, yes. Couldn't get much older and more antiquated, yes.
Oh, it was such a challenge, you know. I had to buy all these tickets and all
you
sort of
things. You had to set the whole system up.
The whole system up, you know, because there was nothing.
And you're doing this part-time.
And I was, she said when I came in, she said, oh, we really want you to work full time. Well, it was from 8:15 till 3:45 or something. That was full time, you know. So I thought I better do that. So one of my neighbors took my youngest child to kinder, because that was the only one. The rest was all at school, and by the time, you know, it was 3:45, I could go home and look after them, so there was no problem, really. So that's what I did.
Mink, you look like you are a woman that obviously enjoys a challenge, and this must have been a real challenge.
Oh, it
to
was
set
such
all
a
out from scratch.
Challenge. Oh, it was such a challenge. And at that stage, it was also that they always expected the students to be absolutely quiet in the library.
That's right. Libraries were places of no nonsense.
No nonsense, no nonsense. So that was a bit of a, you know, you had to sort of, but I mean the classes came in for, and there was always a nun or a teacher with them. And so they were in charge of keeping control over them, and I was just behind the desk giving my books and helping them with books and all that. I loved it, really. And then later on, I got more assistance and all that. So I did that for 23 years.
Wow.
Yes.
That's quite an achievement.
Yeah. I worked there for 23 years, and we had more personnel, and then we branched out in the audiovisual section. And there was some audiovisual technician came in then, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
But I found that in the end, I still worked out the computer systems, you know, we did that.
So computers came into the libraries while you were still there?
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
What year are we talking about here, roughly?
Well, that would have been 1950, that would have been... I retired in 1995. That would have been in 1990 or something. I found that not only because you're getting older, but also because you've not grown up in this technical situation with computers, and that I found that a real challenge and a bit difficult, really. And so I was glad that somebody came in the audiovisual department to take that all over, because that needed to be done. And there was more required, you know, for finding things on the computer and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
So, but my time has been okay. It was my time to go. I felt myself.
Yes. And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
still, that would have been a very interesting period to be a librarian, because that's a fairly massive change, isn't it?
It is, yes.
From basically pen and cards and through to computerisation.
Yes. Oh, yes, that was a big... We had to, study teaching, you know, how to do it and all that ourselves, you know.
Did you enjoy working with the... Well, I can't call them children, with the young people?
I did, actually, but I found that the different attitude that came in was a bit hard for me to take.
How do you mean?
Well, the attitude from the casualness, and I don't know, the attitude of children has changed so much, you know, they're much freer and talking back and doing all these sort of things. You have to live with that. I found it a bit difficult. I found it more difficult, not so much with the children, but the students, but the technical part of it.
Mm.
I found that was a shortcoming in me, and I wasn't prepared to do all these studies again to try to become more efficient.
I think most people listening to the program would understand that. I mean, if I can put it this way, you're not exactly a young chicken at that stage, and you've already worked hard, and it's a big thing to start relearning all over again, isn't it?
Yes, so it was time for me to go.
Yes,
and I had a lovely assistant. We're great friends, you know. She's an English lady, and she was a French teacher, and she did a library course, and she was a great help for me. But she said to me when I retired, she said, "Well, it's time for me to retire too." And I think that was a good idea, really.
You've retired. Did that have a major impact on your life? Did it leave a big hole, or was it an easy transition?
At that particular stage, it was an easy transition. I remember going for a walk the first day that school started and I didn't have to work. And I took my dog out, the Labrador, and I went into the Alton Park and I heard the school bells and all that. And I thought, I don't have to do this anymore.
And so it was a relief.
It was a relief. Yes, it was a relief. Mentally, it was a relief, I think. Because you're on the go all the time, you know, and I was mentally quite tired, maybe.
So you really had retired?
Yes, I really had retired.
I would say by what you've told me so far, it was a retirement that was earned. I mean,
yes,
it hasn't been an easy life.
No, because in the meantime, we had 5 children.
Yeah, and that alone is, as any woman listening would know, is a big job. It's a full-time job.
That's right, because they all had to go to the studies and teenage years and, you know, all that sort of thing. And
by the time you've retired, your children have grown up by then, haven't they?
Well, when I retired, yes, they had grown up, yes, that's right.
So is it just you and Fred living at home at that stage?
Yes, we had... one son was still with us in 1994, I think. Yes, he finished his studies that year, yes.
Mm. Yeah. So what did retirement mean for you? You've walked the dog, you've investigated Eltham Park, but what then?
Yes, that's a difficult question too. Oh, yes, well, when I retired in 1994... and Fred had already retired because of ill health. We went overseas for 3 months.
Back to Holland?
Back to Holland, and not only that, travelling around Europe and coming back via Canada.
Was this this might seem like a silly question, especially to people listening, but returning back to Europe, was that the first time you'd actually travelled around Europe?
Yes, although I have been back to Holland a couple of times now, but one of my sisters has got a holiday house in Italy, and we used to go through Europe in the car to Italy, so you saw quite a bit of...
From the car,
or we stayed in places, you know, on the way, so... Well, I've seen Belgium and I've been to France and Germany and Italy. We know quite a quite
Did you
dark.
Enjoy doing that when you
were Oh, back? Yes, 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 it's lovely.
Do you have a favourite country outside of Australia?
Favourite country would probably be Italy.
And for what reason?
Because I've been there many times with on account of my sister having
family,
her holiday
yes.
house, you know.
Yes.
And we've seen a lot of Italy, and it's beautiful, especially Tuscany, and, you know, I really like that. We stayed there for quite some time, and she's got her holiday house in the north of Italy, very close to Brescia and Verona and beautiful places.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Mink, what does life hold for you from now on?
Well, from now on, the thing is that we wanted to do quite a few things, because we have been travelling. When I retired, we travelled with the caravan to Perth twice, and we went with the caravan, you know, to the north of Cooktown, you know.
So places. You've seen quite a bit of Australia.
Oh,
then.
Yes, yes. We did a lot of travelling, Fred and I.
Yes.
Between that time, you know, the 1995 and the 2000, that were the best years that we had together as a couple to go and see a lot in Australia, actually. With the caravan, we used to go, you know, to Queensland and, you know.
Well, in telling me that, and you said they were some of the best years, does something come to mind in terms of, if I said to you, well, what was it that was so great about it? What was the best part of it? What were some of the best parts?
Well, the best part was because when we were both working, of course, we were very busy, and we all had children all home, so life was completely family life, you know. And when we went on holiday, there were always some children with us as well. Well, this time we could just say, look, we're going with the caravan away, you know, together, and see things that you want to do as a couple, you know, and not...
So it's just focused on you and
Yes, friends. Yes, and enjoying things that we didn't have time for before. And neither had the money when the children were all studying anyhow.
Well, who does? That's right.
Yeah.
You don't.
You
That's
don't,
right.
you know.
Every time I feel how life goes by, I recall the scenes that never die. One.
and this is Listen to Older Voices, the program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their life.
But when our life changed dramatically when Fred had his stroke in 2000, because we left Eltham to live in Hillsville, and you know, we just thought, oh well, that'll be a quiet place, and we can, you know, go and do the things that we want to do. And it stopped after 2 months. You see, we were only 2 months in the house when Fred had his stroke, and life came to an end.
Dramatically changed things. Yes. Yeah,
dramatically changed.
Yes.
Because we, well, the first year he wasn't even home. He was in a rehabilitation center, and it took a long time to get him where he is now. And we can't do anything anymore. Mm. You know what I mean? We can't. We love to travel, and we can't do
that. And you can't do the traveling.
No, you can't walk, and, you know, I find it very difficult to get him into something and.
Yes.
You know, and shower him and do things. It's just too much for us now.
Yes.
You know, so we're staying home.
Yes.
But it's boring.
Well, I mean, again, given your life experiences,
yes.
know, growing up during the war,
the
adventure of having come into a new country and starting a new life, I mean, and all the travel you've done, it's really been a very exciting life. And as you've said, it suddenly came to a dead stop.
Yeah, it came to a real dead stop, because when he came home, we had to make some changes, of course. We had to, we sold the caravan because we couldn't use it anymore. We sold his car, and, you know, because there was no use for. And then it came to the point that it was difficult to stay in the Hillsville home because there were steps in the front and steps in the back, and it was half an acre, and it was too much to keep the garden going. And then my daughter said, well, look, you know, come. I've seen a unit for sale in Yarra Glen. Have a look, Mom, and see what you think about it. She lives in Yarra Glen. And I saw it, and it is a lovely unit. But my daughter and I looked different units in Hillsville as well and all that. But a lot of them needed to have a lot done to them.
Mm.
Not so much now, because they have new ones now. And I couldn't be bothered. I wanted to just walk in somewhere and go.
I can understand
you
that.
You know, and it's lovely. But and that is why we made the decision to go to Yarra Glen.
Right.
And I'm happy in Yarra Glen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Family was very important to you when you were young. Family seems to have been important to you for most of your life. Now your children are growing up. Do you have grandchildren?
Oh, yes, 11.
11?
Yes.
Well, that's quite an achievement.
Yes.
Do you see many of them?
Yes, we have, of course, our Christmases together, and you know, I see a lot more of my eldest daughter because she lives in Yarra Glen. She's got 3 children. They're all teenagers now. They're lovely, lovely, lovely family. I see quite a bit of one of our sons lives in Surrey Hills. He's got 2 sons, but he works during the week, of course. His wife works, and the children play all sport at weekends, so we see him, but not
contact
as much
minimal.
As we.
Yes, yes.
And then we have a son who lives in Sale, and he used to teach at Box Hill TAFE College, but he had an offer that he couldn't resist, you know, a promotion, so he went to Sale for a while because he doesn't like Sale, but I mean, he needed it to advance his career. And he's got 2 children, but the children live in Melbourne. They're studying, you know, they're older, they're the eldest grandchildren, and I don't see them very much. The student life seems to occupy And then we have a son in Moorabbin. He's got 2 daughters. And then, unfortunately, my youngest daughter lives in Perth.
That's several European countries away, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. She's coming over in 2 weeks' time, but, I mean, we don't see her very much, and I'm very close to her, so I miss her, really, you know. But she's happy there with her partner. What more can you do, really? That's where her life is.
Yes.
Mm.
Well, Mink, it's been quite an amazing journey you've been on.
Yes.
And life has had its ups and downs for
yes,
you.
Yes, that's right.
Overall, it seems like it's been quite a wonderful life so far.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And the family is doing well. The children are all doing well. The boys have got good careers. And you know, we really helped them in that. So I feel a great sense of achievement that we were able to give them that, what, you know, for their life, don't you reckon?
I think if you can, when we will all pass away one day,
yeah.
I would suspect that if you pass away and that's the least that you've done, then you've done a wonderful thing in passing that on to your children and their grandchildren. Could I ask you one very final question? Living and dying, it's all part of being a human being, and one day everybody who's alive has to die. And hopefully you've got many years left yet. But when that time does eventually come, how would you like to be remembered by your family and friends?
Yes, I would like to be remembered as a good mother, the way my mother used to be. And, yeah, for my friends, I've got some very close friends, be okay, and the strength to keep up with this time of our life when it is so difficult, really. And we don't know, a bit insecure about the future, what it's holding, you know. But I find myself that I have, even if Fred would die, that I would have the strength to try to make something of my life again. You know?
Mink, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program, and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.